Of Philippians there in the New Testament, the book of Philippians. If you can find Ephesians, just flip to the right. If you go to Colossians, you flip backwards to the left. Just located right there in between Ephesians and Colossians, the book of Philippians in chapter 2, to be specific, chapter 2. All right, Philippians chapter 2. What a beautiful Memorial Day weekend the Lord has given us, and I appreciate you being faithful to church this morning. Glad the Lord brought you here, led you here. If you're a guest and as a member, thank you for being in your place. And trust God has already met with you during Sunday school through that time, and then this morning, and hopefully tonight as we come together for some good fun competition. You know, we got some competitive spirits in our church. I found that out very quickly. Coming here, they call it a game, but you get out there, it ain't no game. Life or death. No, it's not that bad for some of them, but it is a lot of fun. We get together here at Crooked Creek, and so I hope even if you're a guest here today, you're invited. We hope you'll come out for some good fun and fellowship. Well, in light of Memorial Day, I prayed about a message the Lord would give us this morning, and I believe He has. And I want to draw your attention to a man by the name of Epaphroditus. Let me direct you to verse number 25 of Philippians chapter 2. Paul, writing to this church in Philippi, says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Church, with the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message to you entitled, "The Heart of a Sacrificial Soldier." The heart of a sacrificial soldier. And we're going to do that by looking at this man, Epaphroditus. The spirit that this man had was that of a sacrificial spirit. And as we think upon Memorial Day, we are thinking and remembering men and women who paid that ultimate price, who indeed had a sacrificial spirit. I'd like to point your attention to one. As we saw before, there are literally hundreds of thousands that have given their life for our freedom here in America. So this one account that I'm going to give are representative of many, many, many more. This is one that happens to be more known, and I'd like to share with you what this particular individual by the name of Michael Murphy. He was Lieutenant Michael Murphy. How many of you recognize that name as I say it? Lieutenant, okay, at least close to half of you. Lieutenant Michael Murphy gave his life. He paid the ultimate price there in the desert and mountainous area of Afghanistan. And because of that, he did receive the Medal of Honor. He truly exemplified bravery and courage. And as he posthumously received the Medal of Honor, these things were said by President George Bush as his parents would receive this medal in his place. He goes on to say, this Medal of Honor, for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty as the leader of a special reconnaissance element with Naval Special Warfare Task Unit in Afghanistan on 27th and the 28th of June 2005. He goes on to say, while leading a mission to locate a high-level anti-coalition militia leader, Lieutenant Murphy demonstrated extraordinary heroism in the face of grave danger in the vicinity of Asadabad, Konar Province, Afghanistan. On the 28th of June 2005, operating in an extremely rugged enemy-controlled area, Lieutenant Murphy's team was discovered by anti-coalition militia sympathizers. They were supposedly goat herders out there. The team of four noticed that these goat herders saw them as they were coming in under the night sky and actually apprehended them. And for whatever purpose, they, after talking with them, let them go. Well, immediately those sympathizers went and reported them to the Taliban. And it says here, as a result of that, between 30 and 40 enemy fighters besieged this four-member team, specifically led by Lieutenant Murphy. Demonstrating exceptional resolve, Lieutenant Murphy valiantly led his men in engaging the large enemy force. The ensuing fierce firefight resulted in numerous enemy casualties, as well as the wounding of all four members of the team. All four of them had been shot. They were all living, but they had been shot. It says here, ignoring his own wounds and demonstrating exceptional composure, Lieutenant Murphy continued to lead and encourage his men. When the primary communicator fell mortally wounded, Lieutenant Murphy repeatedly attempted to call for assistance for his beleaguered teammates. Realizing the impossibility of communicating in the extreme terrain and in the face of almost certain death, he fought his way into open terrain to gain a better position to transmit a call. As I read more details of this account, what had happened is they were in that mountainous area. And when they were under attack, they ended up going down into a very large ravine and sometimes taking anywhere from 10 to 20 feet leaps down this ravine. Well, they could not get the radio call that they would have beforehand. And so they were being surrounded. So how in the world were they going to get a communication call to the command to send reinforcements? And this is where Lieutenant Murphy moved into action. It says this here. In the face of almost certain death, he got his way to the position to transmit a call. This deliberate, heroic act deprived him of cover, exposing him to direct enemy fire. Finally achieving contact with his headquarters, Lieutenant Murphy maintained his exposed position while he provided his location and requested immediate support for his team. In his final act of bravery, he continued to engage the enemy until he was mortally wounded, gallantly giving his life for his country and for the cause of freedom. By his selfless leadership, courageous actions, and extraordinary devotion to duty, Lieutenant Murphy reflected great credit upon himself and upheld the highest traditions of the United States Naval Service. Signed, George W. Bush. And a lot of the details that were not told at this specific time were the fact that of the four, three died there in the line of fire in that specific battle. One survived. And Petty Officer Luttrell a grenade was hit nearby him, knocking him, I think, 40 or 50 feet and knocking him unconscious. But he was alive. And I want to tell you, there was another act of heroism given from other soldiers that came to his aid. That is a whole nother account of men that just truly had a sacrificial heart. a sacrificial spirit about them to do whatever it takes to save others, to whatever it takes to ensure freedom, to ensure others' safety. That was their heart. And I may mention that at the end of the message. And I'm talking about someone this morning who may not have been a Navy SEAL. Maybe was not an Army Ranger or a Green Beret, but I want to tell you what he was. He was a true servant of the Most High God. His name was Epaphroditus, and he was a true Christian soldier. And that's why Paul even called him a fellow soldier. And I'll mention that more here in just a moment. And I believe by the end of this morning's message, I believe that all of us need to take heed to this man's spirit and how God used him to help the Apostle Paul and also to be a great extension of the church of Philippi. Notice with me if you're taking notes. If you're taking notes with me, notice with me the heart of a sacrificial soldier will be first others-minded. Others-minded. Now you see, let me remind you about something here in the context. The believers in Philippi could not all go to Rome. Paul's in prison right now. He's living in some horrible conditions. He is living at the last couple years of his life. And if you look at a map of the time of the Roman Empire, and you look where, of course, Paul had been planting churches, Philippi is a great distance from Rome. But the church of Philippi said, we're going to send Paul some help. We're going to send him an encourager. We're going to send him someone that has a courageous spirit, a sacrificial spirit. And this man happens to be Epaphroditus. Now, some believe that he was the pastor of that church at the time. There's no proof of that. Nevertheless, he was someone that truly had stepped up for the call. He had the reputation for that. And so Epaphroditus was indeed risking his life to do what they could not do. He was serving Jesus Christ while he served the church of Philippi and while he served the Apostle Paul. And so number one, we see that he was others-minded. Are you others-minded this morning? I mean, do you live a life where you try to make it a habitual practice where you put others before yourself? Where you are seeking to be understanding and helpful and compassionate for the sake of Christ, for the sake of His glory? You see, a true soldier of Jesus Christ will not be self-serving. You see, the world says, serve self. Do what makes you feel good. Do what you want to do. But Jesus Christ says, deny self for the sake of others so that we can pour into others. And that's what Epaphroditus is doing here. And what greater example do we have of this than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I don't have time to go into it, but if you'll notice Philippians chapter 2, it has a theme. You know what the theme is? Humility. The theme of chapter 2 is humility, because first Paul describes Jesus. You notice you get to verse 5 through verses 8, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You know, he goes on to talk about the humility of Jesus Christ. And then he goes to talk about the humility of Timothy. Timothy was one he was going to send also unto Philippi, and that he knew that he would be caring for them. And then he goes in to describe Epaphroditus. By the way, do you know what another main theme of chapter 2 is? Because Paul starts it off. Now, I know the church of Philippi had a great testimony. It's one of those churches you can tell when Paul was writing a letter, he was just so thankful for them, for their walk with God. But they were an imperfect church, just like us. There's no such thing as a perfect church. Churches are filled with imperfect people. But here's one of the things that go hand in hand that I see from this chapter right here, this letter. But not only was the main theme of chapter two, humility, but you know what the other one was? Unity. Mark it down. You will never have unity apart from humility. You will not have unity apart from humility. And Paul detected maybe some Maybe there was some discord. Maybe there was some disagreements going on. Whatever the cause, I'm not trying to read into the text, but he did address unity very clearly here in the very first verses of chapter 2. And he goes on to give three great examples. Jesus Christ, and then Timothy, and then Epaphroditus. And so we understand the importance of being others-minded. Epaphroditus was really concerned about Paul. Was he able to get some food? How was his health? How was his morale? How was his encouragement? These people loved their preacher. They loved the Apostle Paul, the one that led them to Christ. Do you remember Lydia? The church, the lady he led to Christ, as soon as he got the Macedonian call, he landed there. She came to know Christ, her family. Then the Philippian jailer would get saved, his family. These are all these people. And by the way, I believe there were several churches scattered about Philippi. I don't believe this is necessarily just one little group of people. I believe this is talking about the believers in Philippi. And I do believe that Epaphroditus showed that spirit of caring for others. We notice he had a heart for his church too. He just was concerned about him. Do you have a heart for your church? I'll tell you, if you're a soldier of the cross, you're going to care about what's happening at Crooked Creek Baptist Church or wherever you're a member. You're going to care about when somebody's going through a struggle. You're going to care about when someone's sick. You're going to care about when someone just needs some help in whatever way. Because Epaphroditus, look what the Bible says about his heart and this being others-minded. Notice with me in verse 26. Paul was concerned here, if you'll understand that, he says, for he longed after you all. That's talking about Epaphroditus really longed for the people of Philippi, the believers. Now, let me pause there. Do you think it was because of homesickness? Now listen, I've been homesick. Most of you here have been homesick. Maybe you experienced it at a camp you went to. Maybe you experienced on your first missions trip. I remember being homesick in boot camp. I was real homesick. I remember the first night of boot camp. I was laying in that rack and I was crying. Tears coming down my eyes. Thinking, oh, mama's cooking just tastes so good. Oh, my bed was so sweet. These people don't even like me here. We get homesick. It's a natural feeling and emotion that we all go through. But I want to tell you, Epaphroditus, he wasn't homesick in that sense. Paul explains why he was heavy hurting in his heart. Notice what it says. It says, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness. Why? Because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Now, what he's saying there is Epaphroditus was greatly moved by the fact that he knew that the church of Philippi had heard that he was near death. And he was concerned that they would be overwhelmed by worry or an anxiety, that they perhaps would get discouraged because here they are, they've sent him out on a mission to go be with Paul and to encourage him. And here Epaphroditus was full of heaviness. By the way, if you want to mark it down for a later note, this full of heaviness is the same word that was used for Jesus Christ when he was going into the Garden of Gethsemane with James, John, and Peter. It was a serious heaviness, folks. Not because he just wanted to be home and have mama's cooking. He was moved by the fact that the people that he loved, his brothers and sisters in Christ at Philippi, he didn't want them getting discouraged. He didn't want them getting cast down. And by the way, church, we need that spirit. We need to have and be moved by our concern for others, even before ourselves. You see, I like what Thomas Brooks says. He said, the best way to do ourselves good is to be doing good to others. That's a spirit that Epaphroditus had. But number two, if you're taking notes, not only is the heart of a sacrificial soldier going to be others-minded, but he's also going to be trusted by others. Trusted by others. How trusted are you? How trusted am I when it comes to life? When it comes to just working together for the cause of Christ? Are you a trusted church member? You should strive to be. Am I a trusted pastor, under shepherd? I should strive to be. Epaphroditus was trusted. I tell you, Lieutenant Michaels, the reason he was in the mountains of Afghanistan and the reason why so many other soldiers are put into the place, men and women that they are, and where they give them lives, because they were trusted to do exactly what they would do. They would give their lives, their very lives, if necessary. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope that we have that spirit. That we are trusted by others, and that's what the Word of God tells us. Where in stewards is it required that a man be found faithful? You know what that word faithful means? It means to be trusted. Trusted to be faithful. Parents, your children need to trust you. And when you mess up and tell them a lie, and we all do, I told my kids I would do something and didn't follow through with it. We've all been there. We're all imperfect parents. But there should be repentance. There should be a restoration, a reconciliation. You want your children to trust your heart. But you have to show that through your actions. Same thing with spouses. You're to trust each other. You're to build that trust and restore that trust when it has been broken. God calls us so important because you will desire to be more sacrificial. You will be trusted by others with that type of heart. You know, he was trusted. Notice what the Bible says as Paul explains, as Paul sort of describes Epaphroditus in verse 25. He says, first, my brother. That's his brother in Christ. They're in the same family. Same father. Same Savior. And then he says, and companion in labor. That's one who works alongside. And then he says, and fellow soldier. That's one who fights alongside. You see the picture that is painted for every one of us? The ones that are sitting on the pew beside you, in front of you, behind you. You are to be fellow laborers. You ought to be fellow soldiers. Companions together. Every single person in this room ought to have the spirit of being best friends. I just got some mean looks from some of you. Church, listen to me. I mean it. Does it mean you're going to have the same interest? Does it mean you're always going to hang out together outside of church? I'm not saying that. I realize we're going to have different interests and things of that nature. I'm talking about the heart. Everybody in this church ought to be like best friends in spirit. If you're right with God. Because you're not going to be a true sacrificial soldier for Christ if there is some ought in your heart towards another brother or sister. If there's aught, get it right. Work through it. One mind, one accord. I believe with all my heart there was a desire for them to be together. But then notice what he says here. He says, but your messenger. That's the middle of verse 25. You know what he, notice how he changes. He says, my brother, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier. But then he changes. He says, but your messenger. You know what that tells us right there? It says, this man had a reputation in his church where he was trusted. Epaphroditus. If there's someone here that we could send to be a blessing to Paul, let's send Epaphroditus. I hope that all of us want to have that trustworthiness. Well, if we did need to send you somewhere to encourage a brother and sister in trouble, that you could be called on and say, hey, brother, or hey, sister, so-and-so's going through a hard time right now, and I believe it'd be great if you could go over there and encourage them. Because I trust you. I see your heart for people. I see your desire to exalt Christ. And I believe you could be a blessing. Trusted. We want to be trusted. Epaphroditus was trusted by Paul. He was trusted by his church. He was trusted by God, obviously, because the Bible says that the Lord will enable us into the ministry, counting us faithful, trustworthy. We're all imperfect people, but we should be striving to grow in that trustworthiness that we do want to do right. And we're not about just self in this life. Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I certainly don't want to be that man. And I don't think you do either. But if you're going to be a trusted soldier of the cross, a good soldier of Jesus, and to make an impact on this lost and dying world, we have got to get to the point where we are others-minded and we can be trusted by others. Thirdly, if you're taking notes with me, would you notice the third characteristic is that the heart of a sacrificial soldier will be strong in adversity. Will be strong in adversity. Now listen, you're in a battle every day, are you not? You're in a battle every day with your flesh. That's that old nature that's still with you as a believer. You're in a battle with the world, the lures of the world all around us and its glamour. And you're in a battle with Satan and his demonic forces. Every day. And we're going to no less, because of that battle, face adversity. You may have faced it this morning before you even got here. You may have faced it this week, this past month. Maybe it's been 2022 has been one of the hardest years of your life. But I'm telling you, be strong. Because a sacrificial soldier will not bow down to difficulty. You will not let it break you, but you will let it make you into who God has called you to be. And I'm thankful that people like Lieutenant Michael that were out on the field when and very easily could have just said, hey, we're one of you fellas, as a lieutenant, as an officer, he could have said, hey, one of you petty officers, lower ranked, get up there to the top of that hill and make a call. No, that wasn't this officer's decision. You know what Lieutenant Michael said? I'm going. And the specific story, you didn't hear that. He was actually shot in the back. He got out there at a high altitude. He's open fire. He's taking fire. He got shot in the back and dropped the radio. Went back and picked it up and made the call, gave the accurate location, did make it through, and made it back with his brothers in arms. But three of them would die right there on that spot. And a lot of the Taliban came in and would take their arms and some of their equipment. The other one they did not find because he was blown so far away, unconscious. And he would end up waking up and crawling to a small village there in Afghanistan from some herders. And they actually took him in. And it's an amazing story, but I'm not going to go into that. But that Lieutenant Michael, he didn't let the adversity stop him. He got up there and he gave his life to the end. And I want that to be said about me, brethren. I want that to be said about me when they put me in the ground. Brother Britson was not perfect. But I tell you what, he made it all the way to the end serving Jesus. He didn't give up on God. He had his faults. Plenty of them. But he didn't stop. He didn't quit. That's my prayer. And I hope it's your prayer for your own life. And I hope it's our prayer for one another to be strong in adversity. You know, Epaphroditus didn't let the distance stop him. Rome, no problem. Send me. He didn't let this sickness stop him. And when it was nigh unto death. And what's interesting about that word, nigh unto death, if you look at it in your Bible, it's one word that basically says this. Death was next door. Death was his neighbor. He was about to cross over. He was about to die. But you know what? It didn't stop him. And what's interesting about this account is that he almost died. And that tells us something. That tells us that he didn't give up. When he was at death's door, death was his neighbor. Our brother did not give up. In fact, I believe he wanted to stay because the Bible declares very clearly that Paul in this situation says, Epaphroditus, you got to go home. I'm going to be okay. And what the passage says, I'm paraphrasing for you, but what the passage is saying, Epaphroditus, if you die here in this jail with me, I'm going to be worse. I'm going to have so much sorrow in my heart. It'll be too much. I love you, dear brother, but I'm telling you, I want you to go back and get well. It'll be better for the church of Philippi. It'll be better for me. And I want to send you back. And that's why Paul's going to go through a great attempt to make sure, hey, brethren, receive him. He's not a quitter. Epaphroditus is not a quitter. You hold him in high reputation. He gave his life. He was willing to give his life for me. But I wanted to send him back. But that is where we see here in our passage that this true soldier was strong in adversity. Proverbs 24:10 says this, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if." That's a big if. If we faint not. Do you know, really, we learned this under Brother Jim Berg's ministry of quieting a noisy soul, and it stuck with me. But do you know what despair is? When a person gets to despair, do you know what they have convinced themselves of? Get it. Don't miss it, please. They have convinced them that the current situation they're in is going to be like that for the rest of their lives. And that's a lie. That's despair. It's like a hopelessness. It's always going to be this miserable, that current situation. But let me tell you, be strong! You will make it through it. You trust God. You feel the pain, yes. But you roll that burden upon God Himself and you keep marching forward. And I'm telling you, you'll be a sacrificial soldier who will be used mightily of the King. Hebrews 12:3 says, "For consider Him," that's Jesus, "that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." You know what it's saying right there? Can I paraphrase it? If you're getting down, brethren, look to Calvary. Look to Calvary. Get your heart and mind stayed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and this difficulty that you're going through. And your mind will be renewed. You see, I have this little picture, if you will, frame in my office that a lady gave me in Greenwood, South Carolina before coming to the church. And sweet, dear lady, she's in heaven now. But on that frame, it reads this: "Don't Quit" is the name of the poem. And it's a very short one. It says, "The path of man is too dark. The cross of Christ is too glorious. The heart of God is too grieved to quit." Don't quit. Fourthly, we notice this soldier here, Epaphroditus, had no regard for his own life. Epaphroditus had no regard for his own life. You see, he didn't regard his safety and life as being the priority. Now, no one should be going and looking for danger here, but when God calls you to a specific task, a specific place, you gotta be courageous. You gotta be willing to take some risk. See, I'm afraid that the Church of Jesus Christ are being filled with people who have started living life at no risk. They're not willing to face a little embarrassment. They're not willing to be put in a little uncomfortable situation. They're not willing to do without. And I battle that just like all of us do. But the fact of the matter is, we need to get to the place where we're not making our life the priority. There was a task at hand that required a risk. And this word, no regard, could also be translated like this as a paraphrase. It could be translated like this: Epaphroditus hazarding his life. Exposing himself to danger. It's missing in many of our lives, folks. And we need to ask God to forgive us for being so timid and shy and not stepping out there by faith and taking some risk. We need to ask God to just renew you in this. Not regarding his own life. I believe it was C.T. Studd that said, "If Jesus be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him." Did you get that? There's no sacrifice too great. But yet we are many times embarrassed to hand somebody a gospel tract because of what somebody might say or what somebody might not say. Sometimes we are hesitant to pray and just get on our knees before God because we're just afraid. Perhaps we're afraid to humble ourselves before a spouse or before a child or before somebody in the church. We don't want to take that risk. We don't want to take that risk. So we live just comfortable Christianity and never face risk. Again, I'm not talking about being foolish, but I am talking about being filled with God's Spirit and living a life of faith. I'm telling you, if you're living life without faith, you're not taking any risk. You start walking in the Spirit, Spirit of God's going to be putting you in some positions where you're going to be stepping out there. Maybe not hazarding your physical life, but He's going to be putting you some places where you might very well be ignored, ridiculed. But you going to let that stop you? Are you going to be a Daniel? Are you going to be a Epaphroditus? That's the Spirit. C.T. Studd, who was a great missionary, gave his life for Christ, said this also. He said, "Let us not glide through this world and then slip quietly into heaven without having blown the trumpet loud and long for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Let us see to it that the devil will hold a Thanksgiving service in hell when he gets the news of our departure from the field of battle." Now I hear what he's saying here. I'm not saying that last part is going to be a reality, but hey, as a way to illustrate a point, may when we leave this earth, may there be an undeniable impact that we have made on the hearts of people for the cause of Christ. And not just ease our way into glory, but to go through, as Paul said it, through much tribulation. I didn't tell the rest of the story. Petty Officer Luttrell was blown at least 50 to 60 feet away. He woke up. He had serious injury to his back. He had been shot several times. But he walked several miles to find this village. And they took him in, nourished him. The Taliban tried to come and get him several times, but the herders of that particular village would not give him over. And finally, one of the herders went to one of the Marine bases that was, I'm not sure how many miles away, but told them that Petty Officer Luttrell was there. And through that, a rescue team was formed immediately. And on July 2nd of that same year, Luttrell was rescued. What else I didn't say about the story in light of Memorial Day, what a lot of people don't hear when they hear about Lieutenant Michael Murphy, is that when they were fighting to the end of their life, there had been a team formed of 8 Navy SEALs and 8 Special Force Army called Night Stalkers who had boarded a Chinook and were going to rescue these Navy SEALs that had been gunned down. What happened is you also have what you call attack helicopters that will escort the Chinook. Now the Chinook's a lot lighter, so it can move faster. But the armed helicopters, the attack ones, were behind. The Chinook with these 16 special operations soldiers pulled out in front and got ahead of them. And so you got the attack helicopters behind that are going to provide cover and make it a safe arrival for the Chinook to get down and get the men off. Well, guess what? These 16 soldiers, and obviously the pilot made a decision. They had gotten ahead of their protection, and they knew their brothers were in trouble. And you know what the decision was? Even though it was a great risk, they knew it. And by this time, it's daylight. They said, we got to make a decision here. Do we wait on our armored attack helicopters, or do we keep going? They decided to keep going. And through that decision, as they approached the area of attack, they were indeed hit by a grenade launcher. Chinook went down. All on board died instantly. They were going in to rescue these. But they showed forth the spirit, no matter what, we're going forward for our brothers. No matter what. And I pray that that would be my spirit for the glory of God. I pray that will be your spirit. That no matter what, we are going to go forward as soldiers of the cross. We're going to go forward with sacrificial hearts, where we're going to be others-minded, trusted by others, strong in adversity, and have no regard for our own life. That's what God is calling every one of us to do. Would you pray with me? Father, I'm grateful for Your Word. I'm thankful for the example of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave His life for every one of us. God, I'm thankful for those that have followed in His footsteps, like Timothy, like Epaphroditus, like the Apostle Paul, and Lord, like so many others. Father, I pray that we would not grow weary in well-doing. I pray, my God, that You would give us a revival, even here this morning, of being others-minded. Father, I pray that You would lift burdens this morning where people are on the verge of quitting. I pray that You would, Lord, speak to them to not give up. Oh, Lord, would You forgive us of our shyness and our addiction to comfort. Oh, God, renew a right spirit within us. And Father, as we think of Memorial Day and all those that have paid the price, the ultimate price, may it be a reminder to us as believers and as Christians, we also have a price to pay. May we not neglect it. May we not ignore it. May we not forget it. But Lord, may we be revived. Oh Lord Jesus, we trust You to do this. And we ask it in Christ's name. Would you stand with me as the instruments begin to play? If you'd like just to come spend some time at this altar praying, praying for your own heart, praying for others, praying, Lord, just meet with us and lead us with a heart of a soldier. Maybe you have gotten off the battle lines. Maybe you've been retreating. Would you just get renewed today? God is calling you, friend. Are you afraid? Don't be. God is worthy. Ask God to give you the spirit of Epaphroditus. Oh, be real, friend. Be real right now. Just be real with God. Christians are continuing to pray. If there's someone here today and you have no peace with God, you don't know if you were to die today where you would spend eternity. Can I tell you, we would love to open up the Bible and show you how you can be eternally saved. You say, that's me, Pastor. Listen, no one's looking. Everyone's praying, speaking with God. If you want to step out of your seat right now, we'll have someone show you in the Bible how you can have eternal life. Anybody like that? Say, Pastor, God's dealing with me right now, and I believe I need to get this matter settled. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. Those of you that know the Lord this morning, I pray that your heart has been stirred and renewed. Through the preaching of God's Word. May none of us leave here the same as we came in. But charged and challenged and changed. Amen. You can look this way. Thank you for your attention to the Word of God this morning. I trust that the Lord will empower each of us to go out in the power of His name, Jesus Christ, and that we might be good soldiers of the cross. I will leave this with you here. Just as you leave out today, remember, just give thanks for those that have given their lives for our country. And always be sure to reach out to those that are veterans that you see out in public to show them your love and support. And it's very important for us to do that. I do want to encourage you to be back tonight as it goes together. And it's intended that way, as much as our hearts are moved with what they have given. But through what they have given, they have given us something. They've given their lives, but they've also given us freedom in our country. And so we celebrate that. We're thankful for the freedom. And so tonight, and as you barbecue tomorrow or spend time with family, don't feel guilty about celebrating that freedom. But just don't forget where it came from. First and foremost from the Lord Himself, but then through those in our country that have given their lives. So be here tonight at 6 p.m. Bring a lawn chair and bring some type of finger food. And we'll have bottled water provided. But if you wanted to bring some Mountain Dew or Coca-Cola sweet tea, you bring it, okay? And we appreciate you. Appreciate you being here. If you're a guest here today, we have a gift for you as you leave out. I'd love to introduce myself to you and meet you and thank you for coming. So you please go through the front door. I want to give you a gift. And those of us that are members here, thank you for being faithful. And I just want you to know I love you and I appreciate you and rejoice in what God is doing here. I count you as my brothers and sisters, my fellow co-laborers and my fellow soldiers. I'm rejoicing in you. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Timothy Jemanski, if you would just lift up your voice, brother, and close our service in prayer. Yes.